All right, it's Scott McKenzie with Reliability Radio Podcast. Thank you very much for joining. We are coming from Las Vegas, the Reliability Conference, brought to you by Reliability Web. If you want to know anything about reliability, asset management, or even maintenance, that is the place to go. We do a great job at providing the best reliability, asset management, maintenance, knowledge base known to man. That's right, known to man. Right there, Nancy Reagan?
Absolutely.
That's right. Don't leave me hanging there. So thank you very much for joining. We are so glad that you are here. And, you know, once again, I get to interview some leaders within the reliability space. And this interview is nothing less than remarkable, again, because I get to speak with Nancy Reagan. How you doing, Nancy?
I'm doing amazing. You know what the best part of today is, Scott?
What's that?
We happen to be in my favorite place on the planet, which is Las Vegas. So you mix that with talking about reliability, and there is no place I would rather be.
Really?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now, there, Nancy Reagan, you're the first person that has really came into the old podcast with that tidbit of information. I really appreciate that. Fantastic. So you do like Las Vegas, huh?
I love it. There's nowhere I'd rather be.
Really? Why?
There is an energy to this city. I don't know what it is, but as soon as the wheels touch down, it's like I feel this electricity through my body. I just love it. And I love No Limit Hold'em Poker. I love, love, love it. Tournament, not cash.
Yeah, I'm stuck. God, speechless. That's right. You are absolutely wonderful. And thank you very much. I know that you've been busy and you've got a lot going on. You're going to be leaving tomorrow. I know that. So let's go into the little play card of who you are, what's your background, how come you're in the reliability space and all that good stuff. Give us a little 411 on who you are.
Okay.
Outside of a cool name called Nancy Reagan, I like that.
Right? Okay. So here's the 411 on me in a nutshell. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, and then fate stepped in one day. So first of all, I was in high school, and I looked at the college catalog from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and the God's honest truth is that the courses sounded really cool for aerospace engineering. So I went, and then I got hired by the Naval Air Systems Command right out of college as a logistics intern. I ended up in Lakehurst, New Jersey, at the Naval Air Warfare Center. I was bored out of my mind because I was an intern, and one day, my supervisor, Fred, called me into his office, and he said, Nancy, we've been tasked from above. We have to do reliability-centered maintenance on aircraft launch and recovery equipment. It's equipment found on aircraft carriers. Now, I think I can tell you this. Old Fred was just passing it off to an intern because he didn't want to deal with it. Well, that was the day that fate stepped in. You just never know what's going to happen on any particular day. And on that day, my life took a big turn because he said, you got to go figure it out. And so figure it out I did. And now here I am 21 years later.
No way.
Yep.
And that's really interesting. So the systems, and this is aircraft carriers.
Yes.
That's that big line that goes back and then propels the plane into the air?
The catapult, yes.
The catapult.
And then there are the four lines on the back of the aircraft carrier.
The thing that catches
them. Yep, we did both.
Okay, I got to ask the question. This might be a little deviation from it.
Okay.
So when you're a pilot, do you want to catch the first of the four or the last of the four? You don't want the last of the four. You miss it, right?
No, you want to catch the second to the last.
Really?
I believe it's the second to the last. You don't want to catch the last, and you don't want to catch
course.
The first. Yep.
Why wouldn't you want to catch the first?
The first one on the back, because then you might be a little bit too low.
Ah,
yes.
And then all of the trash talking that happens within the plane.
Yes, and do you want to know what?
Yeah.
I was so lucky that I landed on an aircraft carrier and a carrier on deck, and I got a catapult on and off.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
You actually did that.
No, I didn't fly it.
No,
I was in the plane.
Of course, no, but you felt it.
Yes, I was so lucky. It was the most amazing thing I've ever done. It's like a controlled crash. You land at full power, and you just slam onto that deck. And then once they know they've caught the wire, they pull the engines back. And then when it's time to take off, it's like you're in a slingshot.
Oh, that's right, because they can't just let off. They're coming in fast, because if they do miss, they've got to be able to just get off that deck and do it again and turn around and do it again.
It's exactly. You have to assume crash position on landing. It's amazing. It's like the most. I'm so lucky and so blessed that I was a civilian employee of the Navy for a lot of years, and I just learned so much. I'm very grateful.
And then when they catapulted you, what was that feeling like?
It's like amazing. So it's like a slingshot, and you get catapulted off, and then the plane just kind of drops abruptly, but then the engines kind of catch up with it, and then you just go sailing away. It's amazing.
Man, you're my idol, man. I can't believe it. And that's the end of this podcast, because now I'm just weak-kneed, and because I got that. That is a fantastic story. So here we go. You got RCMT training. That's RCM training, right?
Yes.
And it's RCM Training Online. That is your business. You're the founder of that company. Let's talk a little bit about that. How did you start that? Why did you start that company?
Ooh, that is such an amazing question. Okay, so for the last over 20 years, I've been working live with my clients, doing live training, facilitating amazing analyses. But reliability-centered maintenance on December 29th of this year, RCM is going to turn 40 years old. But so many people still don't know about it, or they don't understand it, and RCM sometimes gets a bad rap. I think that's because RCM training isn't readily available. So what I've done is I've recorded an introductory course on reliability-centered maintenance, and now it's online. So you can do it whenever you want, wherever you want.
Is it free?
It's not free, no.
That means I got to pay for it?
Well, maybe for you, Scott, I'd make an exception.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So what you do is you have that online. Are you expanding your training offerings?
I am, actually, yes. I'm working on a facilitator course that is not ready, but I am working on it.
So right now at your website, you can do get the RCM training video, right? And then you're going to be expanding that offering.
I am, yes.
How long has RCM training been around?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the first book on reliability-centered maintenance was published on December 29th, 1978. So,
no, your company.
Oh, my company. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry.
I got the 40 years old, sorry, but it's about
right.
You.
Oh, all right. Ooh, I love it when it's all about me, Scott.
I'm there, man. I love it when it's all about me.
I launched at the end of November 2017.
Just around the corner.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm coming up on about 5 or 6 months.
Okay. I got to ask the question, what were you doing prior to that?
Well, I was doing reliability-centered maintenance only live, working with clients, helping them facilitate for them and training them on the process.
With another company?
Oh, I mean, I've helped a bunch of people.
As an independent consultant?
Yes.
Or?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you had this epiphany of saying, hey, you know, I got to do this. I got to get this online.
Yes.
So you did this, and of course, it's a big, why did you, you just said, okay, people are not, first off, yeah, you're right, RCM.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I think I know where you're going.
Yes, thank you very much.
And I can answer that question.
Thank you.
Okay, so it all goes back to POCA. I told you, I'm in love with POCA, and I buy online POCA training videos, and you can learn an enormous amount from them. So I was actually walking home from Pilates one day, and the thought came to me, if I can learn POCA online, why can't people learn reliability-centered maintenance online? I mean, it's such an amazing process and is so important and so needed in our industry. You know, RCM gets a bad rap, but the one thing I want to say about RCM...
Let me ask you the question.
Go.
What is the bad rap?
Well, a lot of people say that RCM takes too long to do, it's too complex, it's too difficult, but I will tell you 100%, I've been doing this for over 20 years, if RCM takes you too long, or it's too complex, or it doesn't work, 100%, you're not doing it right. RCM is nothing more than common sense applied to physical assets.
Right.
Learn the basics. And here's the other thing about OSIM. All of the basics of maintenance and reliability are all embodied in OSIM. So even if you never intend to apply reliability-centered maintenance, just learning about it will get you to understand the basics and the fundamentals. So if you want to, for example, start doing vibration analysis or oil analysis in your organization, you'll understand why. Because, Scott, do you know that we manage physical assets at the failure mode level? In other words, what's specifically causing failure? So if you pinpoint what those failure modes are, then you can figure out how you want to manage them.
Right. Now, when you were consulting, did you go on site and set up these RCM programs for clients?
Yes. Yes, I did. I did a ton of contract facilitation. I worked 11 years with the CH-47 Chinook helicopter. We did a ton of work with them. I worked with at Y-12 in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, where they manufacture nuclear weapons. I worked with them. I cut my teeth on with PMA-260 at the Naval Air Warfare Center in Lakehurst, New Jersey, with a common support equipment like tow tractors, mobile electric power plants. So my heart belongs to support equipment originally. And then I've done a lot of other things too, but I worked with those three clients for years, many years.
Yeah, I love the acronyms. Absolutely love the acronyms. But when you explain about them, those are pretty big. You downplay it so much, but when it's like, if I did, it's like, yeah, I did this and it was for whatever. No, yours is nuclear and a Chinook helicopter. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you. But okay, so thank you for the compliment and the comment. But what I would like listeners to understand is that reliability-centered maintenance can be applied to anything.
Okay, define anything. I understand. RCM could be for, of course, manufacturing, and that's here at the conference. That's really what it's all about.
Yep.
But when you say anything, like what? What else?
Airplanes, submarines, ships.
You're so
mobile equipment. I've done RCM on a technical manual. I've done it on an engine electronic unit. I mean anything. If it's a machine, if it's a thing, if it's something you want to figure out what you have to do to make sure it keeps working the way you need it, you can do RCM on it.
So the RCM and the thought behind RCM is it's all the planning up front, right? It's all the planning, documentation, and understanding your asset criticality and all of that information that is necessary to make a strategic decision on how to move forward, right?
Yes. Do you want to know what my mentor, John Mowbray, taught me, Scott?
Talk to me.
The essence of reliability-centered maintenance is?
Yes.
It's managing the consequences of failure.
Okay, I got to think that, and I got to talk because I got to fill the dead air with managing the consequences of failure.
Okay, you want me to jump in there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
please.
So I'll just use a real-life example. I use that philosophy at the poker table and even in my own life. For example, my husband will come home and he'll say, you know what? John approached me and he said, hey, I think we should do X, Y, Z. You know, what do you think, baby? You think that'd be all right? So I say to him, so Dennis, let me ask you, what would happen if you did X, Y, Z and it went badly? What would happen? And he'll tell me. And I look at him and I say, okay, are you willing to accept those consequences if they actually come to pass? And he'll just kind of look at me and he'll say, well, no, not those. And I say, well, there you go. It's a no-brainer. Then you don't do it.
Very good.
That's managing the consequences of failure. So you do the same thing with your equipment.
Oh, well. I'm going to have to note that because I certainly don't do that, quite frankly. I'll just sort of blaze a trail on into it, and if it all fails and everything falls apart, I just deal with it at that time. That's amazing. So here at the conference, there's a lot of technical solutions out there,
yep.
Right? And every conversation that I've had that is specific to the reliability, right? It always gets down to, okay, those are great. They're looking for that silver bullet so that I don't have to deal with the people in a sense.
Yes.
But it never gets you. It's always people and culture and dealing with the upfront planning and documentation or whatever that is so that the technology would just sort of follow that planning. And it doesn't diminish the value of the technology. It just ensures that the technology is not receiving garbage.
Yes. Okay, so, Scott, here's what I call it. Well, it's not my term. It's widely used, but it's called the shiny object syndrome.
Absolutely.
You know, oh, all I need to do is buy that expensive monitoring device and all my problems will be solved. Now, let me state up front, I think that all this technology is amazing.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Don't get me wrong.
It's phenomenal. When it's used properly, I mean, it can really help an organization to rock and roll. But you got to start with the basics.
You do.
What failure mode are you trying to manage? First of all, identify that. Then go figure out what solution you could use to manage it. You know, is it worth it? Would it be more cost effective not to? Or is it worth your while to use that shiny object? You know, here's the thing. I think that with technology, the human element in maintenance and reliability is being lost, because I think a lot of people are thinking, all I have to do is get to the artificial intelligence or get on board with this, you know, Internet of Things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but see, that's not the first step. That's like step six.
Right.
Start with the basics. Arm your people with the basics of maintenance and reliability, and come at this from a position of strength so you know what kind of equipment you should buy and how you need to use it.
But here's the deal, Nancy. You know as well as I do, our attention span is about the length of a gnat. And we don't have the ability, and as technology continues to evolve, we're getting less and less focus. And so when you come to me and you say, hey, this is what you, it doesn't diminish the value or the right thinking. When you come to me, all I can see is time.
Yeah.
That's it. Because I want to get to that shiny object. But I've got to go through this. This is all painful stuff to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of passion and energy that you bring to the table, that you're like a unicorn. You're rare. And I'm telling, no, you are. And you bringing that energy is necessary, but unfortunately, we as a society, we don't have the patience.
Yeah.
Well, and yet that train has left the station in a big way.
Big league. Okay, let me ask you this. So let me go back to poker. You know, there's the big World Series of Poker, $10,000 buy-in in the summer.
Yes.
Every year. So, I don't know. Let's say it's your lifelong dream, and your wife says, "You know what? For your birthday, go for it, honey. Buy in." Would you spend $10,000 on that poker tournament if you didn't know how to play poker?
No.
No. So what would you do first?
I would learn.
You'd learn. You'd figure it
out. I'd come to Nancy and say, come on, help me out. Make it fast. Speed it up, because I don't want to just spend my time just trying to learn. Give me the Cliff Note version now.
You'd arm yourself with the basics.
Yeah.
You'd learn the principles. You'd learn actionable knowledge so you can put it into practice at the table and you don't waste your money. It's the same thing with maintenance. You know what? I mean, I would counter and say, we have to make the time to learn the basics, because otherwise we're going to live in chronic unreliability world, a lot more downtime than we want. I mean, there's a reason why things aren't working the way we want them to. I mean, we have to figure it out.
You know, we're going to have this conversation 2 years, 3 years down the road, and it's going to be the same.
I know.
It's not. It's not a negative. It's just. There's a slow adoption to it, and it requires the CEO level of really shepherding that reliability, you know, culture.
Yeah.
Because there's just too much churn within the ranks. You know, we talk about that tool that's out there to be whatever. It could be a laser aligner alignment. And when that person leaves, goes on to bigger and better things, that tool just sits in another cubicle collecting dust because nobody knows what it is.
Yep.
That's the world we live in.
I know. And it's my technical mission. It's my professional mission to turn that around as much as I can.
Let me ask you this. Where do you see, you got the RCM training, where do you see it going?
I would love to see, and I don't mean this because it's my business. Ooh, sign up and take my course. But, you know, I would love to see a lot more people signing up and taking it. Because, again, you don't have to learn about RCM because you want to apply it. RCM, it will teach you, for example, what a failure mode is, how you figure it out. Embedded in that is FAMEA, failure modes effects analysis, FAMECA, failure modes and effects and criticality analysis, condition-based maintenance. I mean, all the basics, it's embedded in it. Learn it. It's not obsolete. You know, I hear people say, ooh, this is a big one, and I didn't get into it with someone on LinkedIn because, you know, anyway, I'll just be kind. I didn't get into it. But someone said that reliability-centered maintenance is obsolete. Now, what I would want to say back is, are the fundamentals, are the basics of maintenance and reliability now obsolete? Or are people just making them obsolete because they're just opting for the shiny object syndrome instead of figuring out the basics before they go spend their money on the big ticket items?
You call it shiny object. I call it the silver bullet.
Yep.
You know, we're just trying to, as fast as we possibly can, remove the pain and just give me the silver bullet so I can take it out. Wow. You know, I mean, I can have this conversation all day.
I know, I could too. You know, it's funny, my mentor, John Mowbray, called it, we're killing ourselves with silver bullets. That's exactly
we are, and it's just the reality of it. Okay, question. When does the Bruins take on the Maple Leafs?
Oh, it's tomorrow night. It's tomorrow night.
Well, it's funny, in some of the interviews that I've had people from Canada.
Yeah.
You know, they're going for the Maple Leafs. And then I had another gentleman from Boston, and he's the same thing. So it's...
You know, listen, Bostonians are hardcore. I'm going to tell you this. Game 6, Toronto deserved to win. They skated like rock stars. The Bruins, they got to bring it tomorrow night. They have to bring it, all right, and they have to skate like rock stars.
Okay, if the Bruins are listening right now, which they're not because, well, this is a podcast and we'll post it later. But if you were... You heard it from Nancy Reagan. You better be bringing the skates.
So, amen. Good luck.
Yeah. And Nancy, what a joy. I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome. And thank you for joining the Reliability Radio podcast. And you know, like I said, we've got a lot of information out there at reliabilityweb.com. Go out there, find more about, hey, Reliability Center Maintenance. Hey, and what, doggone it, go to RCM Training Online. That's rcmtrainingonline.com. Find out more about RCM. Connect with Nancy. You're out on LinkedIn?
Absolutely, yes.
Major. Connect with her. Do not let another day go by without connecting with her. So thank you very much. Be safe out there. And thank you for joining the Reliability Radio podcast. Be safe. Be reliable.